Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. We've got quite a day laid out here today. Our old buddy Gianna Caldwell is going to drop by and try to explain to us how Donald Trump is just a wonderful guy and everything is fine. That should be entertaining. And in our third hour, Pramila Jayapal, the congresswoman from Washington State, who is the co-chair, along with Mark Pocan, of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, is going to drop by and take calls. A lot going on today. There's a couple of points that I want to bring up that I think are really, really important and consequential. And I think that most people are just kind of lost in this welter of detail and names that they're not familiar with, and who are these guys, and who is Taylor, and who's Sondland, and who's, you know, what's going on? How did this all start? This whole Trump corruption scandal, you know, where Giuliani is going over to Ukraine and basically executing an extortion and bribery deal on behalf of Donald Trump, and where the President of the United States, Donald Trump, has released a transcript showing that he actually told the leader of a foreign government that that guy, if he wanted to have a proper integration with U.S. foreign policy, if he wanted to get along with the United States, he didn't need to talk to the State Department. He didn't need to talk to the ambassadors. He didn't need to talk to the diplomats. He needed to talk to this private lawyer, this weird guy, Rudy Giuliani, who wasn't even taking a paycheck, this buddy of Trump's. He had to talk to this guy. I mean, that's how weird it got. So how did we get here? There's a couple of players that are not being talked about pretty much at all. And I think that it's worth just laying this out so that everybody gets it, because it is so critical. So first of all, you've got President Zelensky. He's the new president of Ukraine. And he was elected in April of this year. Right, just in April. Now, the president before him was a guy named Petro Poroshenko, who was good buddies with Paul Manafort and was in tight with Russian and Ukrainian oligarchs and was, widely viewed as very corrupt. He was the previous president. And it was Poroshenko to whom Trump and Giuliani first reached out and cut a deal. Now, this goes back a little bit. But in late February, according to the Wall Street Journal, February of this year, see, Poroshenko, now, there was an election coming up in April in Ukraine. And Poroshenko was running for re-election. And he needed some help, because he was falling behind in the polls, because this comedian, this guy who had a TV show where he played the role of the president of Ukraine on TV as a comedian and was in tight with a billionaire oligarch, Ukrainian billionaire oligarch. This is Zelensky, the guy who played the comedian, the comedian who played president. He was in tight with the guy who owned the TV network that he was on. This guy's name is Kolomoisky, Ihor Kolomoisky. So anyhow, Poroshenko needed help in the election coming up in April. And so in February, Poroshenko meets with Lev and Igor, right? Parnas and Fruman, these two guys who got arrested, these, quote, Giuliani associates who got arrested just a couple weeks ago as they were trying to flee the United States. The two guys that Trump says, I don't know those guys. I take my picture with a lot of people. Okay, so those guys go over to Ukraine, according to the Wall Street Journal, and get a meeting with Poroshenko and put together this deal through the corrupt Ukrainian prosecutor, Poroshenko's guy, his Bill Barr, guy by the name of Lutsenko. Work out a deal with him where he will announce an investigation into Biden, into the gas company, and he will also announce an investigation into how the Democrats hacked their own server from Ukraine in 2016. So Poroshenko and his prosecutor, the former president of Ukraine and the prosecutor, the corrupt prosecutor, said to Trump, we'll give you what you want. In exchange for that, will you say something nice about us or even invite Poroshenko to the White House for a meeting? And Trump says, yeah, sure, no problem. But the meeting never happened. Poroshenko never came to the United States. But Lutsenko, the prosecutor, actually did meet with an American journalist, a guy by the name of John Solomon, who was writing for the Hill newspaper at the time. By the way, there's a great summary of this over on TPM by Josh Kavinsky, the most pivotal moment in the Trump-Ukraine scandal timeline. I commend it to you, and I'm using it as a principal source. So on March 20th, this guy, John Solomon, begins publishing a series of articles in which this prosecutor for the former corrupt president is smearing our ambassador. Apparently on behalf of, we're collaborating with Giuliani. So then on April 21st, everything changes. On April 21st, Poroshenko loses the election. See, Trump thought he's got this thing all set up, and that later on this year or early next year, the Poroshenko would get reelected, and that he would come out and he would announce publicly, we're investigating Joe Biden for corruption and his son, and we're also looking into how Ukrainians hacked the DNC server in 2016, had nothing to do with Russia. Trump thought that's how it was going to play out. So when Poroshenko lost to Zelensky, to the reformer, to the comedian, there was a freak out in Trump world. They were like, oh my God, this whole thing that we've put together is falling apart. And what do we do? And of course, this is when Parnas and Fruman then fly to Israel for a meeting with the billionaire oligarch who owned the TV network that Zelensky was on, the President Zelensky was on. Remember, he was a comedian? Lev and Igor fly to Israel for this meeting with this billionaire under the rubric of, we're going to talk about a natural gas deal. But actually what they said was two things to this billionaire oligarch who owns this TV network in Ukraine. They said, number one, can you give us access to Zelensky, the guy who used to be on your TV network and who you support? And two, we can give you access to Trump and other U.S. officials if you give us some money. They tried to shake him down. And he basically threw them out of his office. That was in April, right after the election. So then a week later, Giuliani himself says, well, I'm going to go to Kiev. See, we've got to get this thing going, right? We've got to smear Joe Biden. And on May 9th, Giuliani told the New York Times that he was going to go to Kiev to investigate Hunter Biden and the 2016 election. And as soon as the New York Times published that, you know, there was this big sturm and drang around this, and Giuliani said, I guess I'm not going to go. But, you know, the bottom line is that these guys were absolutely planning on having this deal worked out with Poroshenko, and it just completely caught them off guard. So they had to improvise with a guy who wasn't inclined to be corrupt. Now, in the end, he was willing, Zelensky, he ultimately, for the survival of his country, in his mind, certainly for the survival of his presidency, decided that he was willing to go along with Trump's little extortion scam and bribery scam. And he scheduled a meeting with CNN to be interviewed about it, at which he would, you know, at which time he would basically say, yeah, we're looking into, you know, the corruption by Joe and Hunter Biden, and we're looking into whether the Ukrainians actually hacked the DNC in 2016, you know, rather than the Russians or somebody else. And that got blown up when the whistleblowers' information came out. And then 2 days later, Trump released the aid to Ukraine, because he basically, at that point, he had been outed. Trump had been outed, so he had to release that money. So, you know, I think it's really important to just understand the context of this whole thing, to look back at it and see how it's working, see where it came from. This was a corrupt president, Trump, reaching out to the corrupt president of another country, Poroshenko in Ukraine, working out a deal that fell apart when Poroshenko lost the election. That's the bottom line, right? That's the whole thing in summary.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Which then led us to where we are right now, where, you know, he had to reach out to the new president. And that's when things got really unraveled and Rick Perry and Gordon Sondland and all these guys get involved. Manuel in Houston, Texas. Hey, Manuel, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? Love your show. It's been a while since I called in. You know, I just think it's ironic how this criminal that we got in the White House, of course I'm biased, the same constitution that he's violating, that he swore to uphold, that he's violating, is protecting him. I think that's ironic, you know, that through this hearing, this impeachment inquiry,
yeah,
and I'm all for the impeachment inquiry, but, you know, it's ironic to me that the same constitution, I'm repeating, that he is violating is also, in essence, protecting him because he's the president. You know, any other body in a corporation or somebody would be removed or something or censored or something.
Yeah.
You know, the same constitution that he swore to uphold, he's basically calling him phony. Because in my opinion, if you call one phase of the constitution, you're basically saying that the whole constitution is
phony. What part of the constitution, Manuel, is he saying is phony?
The emoluments clause.
Oh, the emoluments clause, yeah. Well, also, I would say, you know, the power of Congress. He is refusing to respond to congressional subpoenas for information, which is why the primary witnesses are not in front of Congress. We're getting secondary witnesses. This is the whole Republican talking point. Well, that's because they're being obstructed. And Andrew Johnson turned over information Congress asked for in 1860, whatever it was, 67, I think. Richard Nixon turned over information Congress asked for. Ultimately, I mean, this Bill Clinton turned over information that Congress asked for, but Donald Trump is completely obstructing Congress. And that's, you know, and impeachment is a congressional obligation. If Congress sees that a president is committing high crimes or misdemeanors, bribery or treason, they have an obligation to impeach him. And that obligation really went up substantially back in 1974 when the Office of Legal Counsel in the U.S. Department of Justice, you know, wrote this memo saying that you can't prosecute a sitting president. And then in 2000, when the Bill Clinton Office of Legal Counsel said, yes, and we agree, and doubled down on that. Well, if you can't prosecute him, the only thing that is left, if he's committing a crime, is impeachment. And so Congress this becomes not just something Congress can do if they choose to. This becomes like a solemn obligation. If the Constitution really is the supreme law of the land, And if you, and this is one of the reasons why, and I agree with you, Manuel, that this the about emoluments, and this is why I think that the Democrats, if they only impeach him for this Ukraine deal, I think that's a very dangerous course, and I think it's a bad precedent, because I really think they should list all the crimes this man committed, just like they did with Richard Nixon. And
amen.
But instead, it looks like, I mean, I'm not sure that they've made the final decision yet, but it looks like they're just going to go for this this bribery extortion thing, which is terrible. I mean, you know, it's really terrible. Yeah. But, you know, all of history needs to know that we hold presidents accountable when they do these kind of things. I mean, you know, all of history needs to understand this. It's you know, future presidents need to understand this. So,
well, I appreciate you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Manuel. Nice to hear from you. Hey, say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products that help everyone sleep and live better. Their ultimate goal is a world well slept. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, bedding, and furniture, Casper is transforming the way we sleep. With over 50,000 five-star reviews, it's the most loved and trusted sleep company, so don't lose sleep over finding the perfect bed. The four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Louise and I love our Casper bed. And Zone Support is designed to provide extra support to keep your back aligned. With bedding, bed frames, even Glow, a magical light for better sleep, Casper has everything you need to complete your dream bedroom. Need time to decide? Sleep on it. Casper mattresses come with a 100-night risk-free trial. Rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get the mattress of your dreams today. Go to casper.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use the code Tom, T-H-O-M, for $100 toward the purchase of select mattresses. That's casper.com/Tom, code Tom, T-H-O-M, to get $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Terms and conditions apply. See casper.com/terms. Casper experience and product reviews are based on casper.com, authorized retailer sites, and Google. I just wanted to lay this out, how this all happened, because I think a lot of people just don't know. They're not paying close attention to what's going on, but how we got here. And that is that Trump already had this deal with the corrupt former president. A new guy comes in and says, in fact, campaigns on, I'm going to be the guy who cleans up the corruption. The new guy comes in, and so Trump reaches out to him through Giuliani and Sondland and Perry and says, hey, would you cut the deal with us that the previous guy did? I mean, I don't think most Americans even know that there was a previous deal that Trump had cut with Poroshenko. Most Americans obviously don't even know who Poroshenko is, and this is a problem. There's another point that I think is a really important one. There's a really simple reason why back in 1974, there were some Republicans who actually voted to investigate Richard Nixon. In fact, there were only four people who voted not to investigate Richard Nixon in the U.S. House of Representatives. Only four. They were all Republicans, but there were only four of them. Now, why is it that back in 1974, and what Nixon is accused of doing, trying to cover up a break-in to the DNC, you know, we're spying on the other party, is nothing compared to bribery and extortion of a foreign government in order to flip an election. I mean, they were both trying to flip an election, right? Nixon was trying to bug the Democrats so that he could get information on what their strategy was. He actually was trying to find, I believe that he was trying to find out if they knew what Lyndon Johnson knew, that in the election of 68, Richard Nixon, when he first became president in 1968, that he had committed treason by cutting a deal with South Vietnam to not go along with the peace deal that LBJ had worked out. And that was what he wanted to find out. He needed to find out if the Democrats knew about this. And that's why, in my opinion, they were breaking into Watergate. But whatever. In both cases, you've got a Republican president who is using criminality, essentially, to become, you know, to get reelected. This is what Nixon was doing within the election of 72 by breaking into the Watergate. And this is what Trump is doing right now, in 2019, 2020 election cycle, trying to get the Ukrainians to work with him. But why is it that today no Republicans have broken rank with Trump yet? And the only one who has, Justin Amash, left the party. I think it's because of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm not talking about putting conservatives on the court. I'm talking about in 1976 and 1978. Now, this was 2 and 4 years after the Nixon impeachment. The U.S. Supreme Court said it is perfectly fine. It's no longer considered bribery when an individual billionaire or corporation reaches out to an individual politician and says, we would like to own you. We will give you hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, both professionally and personally, if you will be our guy. And in 76 and 78, the Supreme Court said to billionaires in 76 and to corporations in 78, that is First Amendment protected free speech. You spending money to own people is no longer considered bribery. So now the situation that we have is that the entire Republican Party have become wholly owned agents of the corporate and billionaire class. And they don't want the money to stop. And Trump is doing what the billionaires and the corporations want, deregulation and lower taxes. This is their entire agenda. It's really that simple. And as long as the Supreme Court continues to say it's okay for billionaires and corporations, for the oil industry to own some of the Republicans and the pharmaceutical industry to own some of the Republicans, you know, as long as the Supreme Court goes on to say that that and the morbidly rich can continue to own politicians, we're going to continue to see this partisanship. Everybody's walking around going, why are we so partisan? There's a very simple reason. It's the Supreme Court.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. On the line with us is Gianna Caldwell, Fox News political analyst, author of the new book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. His website, giannocaldwell.com, G-I-A-N-N-O, Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L. That's also his Twitter handle, Gianna Caldwell. And I should add, Gianna is a friend of mine. Gianna, welcome back to the program. It's been too long since we've talked.
It's been way too long, and I'm so happy to come talk to you about this book, which interestingly enough has been endorsed by President Trump, Ann Coulter, Ben Shapiro, Newt Gingrich, Keiko James, the president of Heritage, and Clarence Cox III, who's the former president of a law enforcement group. And I'm sure your name is going on that list very soon here, Tom.
Okay, so how do you think that conservatism can win back the Americans that liberalism failed, the subtitle of your book, when the head of your party is extorting a foreign government to try to help himself get reelected in 2020? How do you pull that off?
So first and foremost, let me tell my story, and I talk about this in my book, Taken for Granted. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, extremely poor, lights, gas, and water off at the same time. Mom addicted to crack cocaine. I got involved in politics when I was 14 years old, and that happened because I was going down a street with my grandfather driving through an area of Chicago called Inglewood one day. And I saw a lady who looked drugged up and beat down, and I knew it was my mother. And I began to tear up. My grandfather, in his very southern voice, says, "What's wrong with you, boy?" And I say, "This lady." And then I realized it wasn't my mother, but it could have been. I said, "What can I do to prevent this from happening?" And he begins to tell me about the power elected officials have to increase the penalty of lawful of those who sell and distribute drugs, and now they can provide grant funding for those who want to be rehabilitated. Then I got involved in politics at the age of 14, and I saw how year after year, Democrats would come into this community that I live and all over the city of Chicago and make these promises, but nothing would ever change. Meanwhile, you got black unemployment the highest it had ever been. You got crime running rampant through the streets, drug dealing. You got all this, these policies, the government-backed policies, which are meant to keep people trapped in where they are.
Hang on just a second, Gianna. The LBJ's Great Society programs cut over the following 10 years before they were largely repealed by Reagan, cut poverty in half in the United States. And I believe that they cut black poverty by more than in half. But I know for a fact that it was in the neighborhood of the high 40% of people were literally no longer in poverty as a result of those programs, because of housing programs, because of food stamps, because of support to education, because of, you know, tax credit programs. I mean, there was just a whole plethora of programs. You know, I get it that they're, you know, both Republican and Democratic politicians have, you know, to a large extent failed our cities over the years. But I don't see how this is conservative or liberal.
Let's be very clear. I support a strong safety net. I just support it from a temporary standpoint. In the neighborhoods I lived in, it was generational. This wasn't a you know, you're on the program for a couple years.
But don't you think that's because Wells Fargo was redlining every opportunity? Don't you think that that was because the big employers in Chicago were not hiring black people? In fact, you could even argue back up until the 60s that even unions were keeping black people out. And, you know, there's a conservative talking point for you if you want. But I mean, that's racism. That's not politics.
Unions have disenfranchised African Americans 100%, but we're talking about policies that were pushed by liberal politicians, which causes people to capitulate to poverty. We're talking about, you talk about...
So how does cutting somebody off of their Medicaid, their access to health care, you think that that's going to cause them to suddenly say, you know, gee, I think I should, you know, go out there and get a job when there's no job for them to get?
When Newt Gingrich put forth the 96 welfare reform, I thought that was great. You get people, you let them stay on welfare for a little bit, allow them to get a job or go to school, and then at some particular point you take them off, but you get them comfortable.
Yeah, it was a 5-year limit, but where that has failed, and we're seeing this with the, you know, we've got higher maternal and infant mortality rates in our inner cities in the United States and in southern rural areas, in red state rural areas. We've got higher infant mortality rates than most third world countries.
You know what we also have? We have the highest employment that we've ever seen in our country, just about, especially for African Americans, the lowest unemployment rate in our country's history, at least where it was recorded. We got the black Americans are doing extraordinarily well.
I agree. You know, President Obama's policies have done really well.
No,
now we're in the sixth year
Bureau of Labor and Statistics did a study from 2016, the last year of President Obama's term in office, up until now. There's been over 1.3 million jobs added for black Americans. You think about criminal justice reform, thousands of people released from jail, 90% of them are black. You think about opportunity zones, almost 9,000 of them in black marginalized zip codes where companies can come in and invest. You think about greater funding for HBCUs.
You know, you're talking about all things that Bill Clinton supported and Barack Obama supported, Jim.
You haven't answered my question.
Sure, how can conservatives...
supported low unemployment for black people. They just never did anything to cause it to happen. Sure.
Okay. How can conservatives win when the head of their party is a corrupt hustler who refuses to show his taxes, who cheated on both of his last two wives, who paid cover-up hush money to a porn star and a Playboy model, you know, before an election, who's committed these crimes? How can you possibly win with this guy at the head of the ticket?
You know what's interesting? I'm not familiar with there being a such thing as a perfect person. Certainly he has his flaws, his moral failings. That's 100% accurate. However, I'm talking about from a policy perspective.
I'm talking criminal failings.
Well, first and foremost, if that was something that was to be proven, then he would be in handcuffs right now. That's not something to be proven.
Well, no, according to the Department of Justice, he can't be arrested. He has to be impeached, which is actually what's going on right now.
Right. And you read the transcript, didn't you?
I did.
Where's the evidence? Where was it? They said it was a quid pro quo.
Zelensky.
Did you see that?
Zelensky said, hey, we're ready to buy some missiles. And Trump said, but I want a favor, though.
No, but they got their funding. He never made a statement.
They got their funding 2 days after the whistleblower's story got leaked to the New York Times.
But they still got their funding.
They got their funding because Trump couldn't run his con anymore.
Let's keep in mind President Obama held up funding for, 8 years? He
took
some blankets and food?
This is not about Obama, and Obama wasn't trying to do anything with Ukraine in order to get himself reelected. Obama wasn't corruptly committing extortion. You may disagree with Obama's foreign policy with regard to Ukraine.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Joe Biden's son was corrupted?
I don't think that
he's going to sit on a board with no experience.
I think it's a terrible thing.
All this money.
I don't think he should have done it. I think it's a terrible thing.
Biden should have pushed it either. Right. Saying I'm going to fire the prosecutor.
Good job at trying to change the subject. But the bottom line here, Gianno, is that we've got a president who's committing extortion right out in front of, you know, God in the whole world.
If it was extortion, it would hold up in a court of law, and he would be in handcuffs.
He would not be in handcuffs. The Department of Justice has said he can't be arrested.
Impeachment is a political process, and if anybody saw that hearing yesterday, because I sat for mostly 5 hours of that, I didn't hear anybody with direct evidence or who actually heard this president say, I want you to do something.
And you know why that is?
Why is that?
Because unlike Bill Clinton, unlike Richard Nixon and unlike Andrew Johnson, this president has refused to answer lawfully issued federal subpoenas. He is engaged in a massive cover-up of his own criminal doings. No, I'm talking about subpoenas for, you know, for example, for John Bolton to come in and testify.
There's this thing called executive privilege, President Obama.
This is not about executive privilege. Executive privilege does not cover crimes. The Supreme Court ruled that in 74.
This isn't a crime. You're talking about John Bolton testifying. I'm saying that executive privilege.
Seriously, as a matter of fact and law, you can't assert executive privilege in an impeachment hearing. You can't. Richard Nixon tried, and the Supreme Court said, sorry, that doesn't work.
So I'm going to tell you again, because we've talked about this all on the air, and for people that know, I work for Fox News Channel. This president, and if you saw the hearing, if people sat in and they listened to what they had to say, there was no one with any direct evidence of President Trump's wrongdoing.
It
was
Trump is hiding it.
This person told me, this person. We don't know. And I'm all for if the president did something wrong and if he's corrupted, yes, he should be brought to justice. We got to hold our party accountable. I talk about that in my book, Taken for Granted, and I encourage everybody to go out and look it up, go get it, and follow me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, at Giano Caldwell, G-I-A-N-N-O, Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L. And I'm sure you're going to put this
.com
this,
and,
riveting.
And also on your Twitter web. On your Twitter feed. And I'm sure we'll post this on YouTube and everything. And your book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed, is a book that people should be reading.
I'm not running away. I just got to go on air right now.
Okay, you got a boogie.
We got, you know, and I want to mention something real quick. You may not recall. You here?
Yeah, I'm listening.
The day that Trump announced for president, I sat on your air on RT America, and you said that you thought that Trump had a chance to win.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Giano Caldwell, Fox News political analyst and author of the new book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. GianoCaldwell.com and on Twitter, Giano Caldwell. Thanks, Giano. Thanks for dropping by today. Breaking news, I finally found a topic everyone can agree on. No matter what party you support, the ideas you believe in, or the opinions you may have, we can all agree on the fact that aging stinks. Under eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, crow's feet, no one can escape it. Luckily, I found just the product to help. It's called Plexiderm Rapid Reduction Serum, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates all your key signs of aging. And the best part is it works in minutes. Now that's newsworthy. No bias here. I tried it, and you should too. No invasive surgeries, no complication, and the best part is no one has to know that you're wearing it. I look just like me, just younger. Go to triplexiderm.com and use my code TOM, T-H-O-M, for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292. And mentioning the code TOM, T-H-O-M. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com, code TOM.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit tomhartman.com for audio and video archives.
Ernest in Santa Monica, listening on KPFK in Los Angeles. Hey, Ernest, what's on your mind today?
So I'm losing faith in the Democratic Party. I'm losing faith in DNC. I think the race to impeachment, while it might be well-intentioned, I think it's, for me personally, on the outside looking in, I think it's a sham. I think it's a farce. Because at the end of the day, when it hits the Senate's desk, they're not going to toss him out on his butt. Because they're so, the Republican Party, and they control it.
So if the next president is Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, and they decide that when they want to run for re-election in 2024, that it would be really helpful if, say, France was to support us and, you know, dig up some dirt on Romney when he runs. And so they go to the French intelligence services and say, hey, we've got some dirt on your president. We know that he's been having an affair on the side. We're going to release this if you won't investigate Mitt Romney and announce it. You think that's fine, Ernest?
Funds, I think funds were released within 10 or 11 days.
The funds were released 2 days after the New York Times reported that the whistleblower had told the world, or had told Congress, actually, through the State Department's Inspector General,
right,
2 days after the New York Times reported that the president was trying to commit extortion against Ukraine, and the key to that was withholding the funds. Two days after that was reported, he released the money.
Right.
That's proof of guilt.
Money was released. That's the end of the day. That's what you're telling me. Money was released. What's the issue here?
Let me get this straight. So if I walk into a bank and I stick a gun in the face of the teller and I say, give me all your hundreds, and they're handing the hundreds across, right, and they're about halfway across, but I haven't grabbed them yet. And then the cop in the bank comes over and puts a gun to me and says, stop it now. And I set my gun down and say, hey, I haven't taken the money yet. The money's back in the teller's drawer. Everything's good.
The real reason the DNC is going to lose the vote of the American people is because they're wasting political capital, they're wasting time, they're wasting energy instead of legislating.
I think that's a strong possible argument, and you may well be right, except for the fact that the Democrats in the House of Representatives have passed more than 260 consequential pieces of legislation to clean up our elections, to nail down our elections, to make things so that, you know, foreign governments can't hack our elections like they have in the past. They passed comprehensive health insurance, you know, expanded Medicaid across the country to clean up our environment.
I appreciate that.
You know, they've done over 260 pieces of legislation. It's not that the Democrats are not legislating.
That.
They are doing it every day. It's that the Mitch McConnell,
that.
you're saying that the Democrats are going to lose because Mitch McConnell is blocking all this legislation in the Senate.
No, the Democrats are going to lose because if you look at the 2008 election, Mitt Romney versus now 2016 Trump, Trump got 1% more of the white vote. Trump took over, in comparison, 14% more of the Asian vote. Latino vote. Trump, on a campaign of build a wall, he won 23% of the vote. That's a problem.
Yeah. You got those numbers right at your fingertips there, Ernest. Calling me out of the RNC headquarters? Ernest, thanks a lot.
I
believe you are who you say you are. I'm sorry. That was snarky. I shouldn't get personal. Ernest, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to KPFK. We'll be right back. In our special video, I am talking about how the House Democrats are coming up with basically, so far what we know is they're basically going to come up with this one big impeachment story, which is that Donald Trump was running a bribery and extortion scheme with Ukraine or against Ukraine in order to flip the 2020 election, in order to help get himself reelected. And that's pretty bad. But we're missing a whole bunch of things that I think, frankly, should be included in the articles of impeachment, whether it's defying campaign finance laws, you know, Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, or whether it's the emoluments stuff. This is, you know, explicitly barred by the Constitution. Whether it's defying Congress, whether it's refusing to follow the law that says that, for example, the head of the Ways and Means Committee gets to see his taxes. Check it out at TomHartmann.com. Welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you. So is this all helping or hurting, pointing out to the world that Donald Trump appears to have committed some serious crimes? John in New York City, listening on SiriusXM. John, you think that this is going to get Trump reelected?
It's not resonating well with the American people. Basically, I think the Democrats understand they can't beat him. This is a last-ditch effort. I also think that they're trying to posture for the upcoming indictments that are going to come down regarding Hillary and Obama and what they played into the Ukraine debacle. And it's just a matter of time. Trump will win in 2020, and you're going to see people in handcuffs. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, you may be right, John. I'm fascinated by this. We know that Trump cut a deal with Poroshenko, the former corrupt president, and that in April of this year, when the non-corrupt guy got elected, that's when they started scrambling, Rudy and Perry and Sondland, trying to cut the similar deal with the new guy. But what is the deal with Ukraine that you think Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are going to go to jail for?
Well, I don't think, per se, that those two powerful people will go to jail. I mean,
you said they're going to be in handcuffs. What'd they do?
The dossier is going to come out with who was behind it, and it's going to lead to Obama and Hillary.
Are you talking about the Christopher Steele OPA dossier, the one that was initially hired by the Washington Examiner, I believe it was? It's the right-wing newspaper in Washington, D.C.
That's not the right spin.
No. It's actually what happened, though. It was on behalf, I believe, of the Marco Rubio campaign. Initially funded that dossier.
Stop taking the same medication that Adam Schiff is taking, because it's not reality, okay?
So what's reality? I'm asking you. Tell me. What did Obama and Clinton do that's going to get them thrown in jail?
Exactly what they're accusing Trump of. Meddling an election and using people to try to unseat a person who's running for office. It's to point the fingers, because it's exactly what the Democrats
Okay, let me get this straight.
They're
John, let me tell you what I think you're saying. I think you're saying that because Christopher Steele worked for British intelligence before he retired, became a private investigator, that because he's British, that a political party or a political campaign hiring him, a Brit, not an American, to investigate a candidate, Donald Trump, is the same thing as the president of the United States committing extortion against a foreign government. But Christopher Steele is not a foreign government.
You're labeling it as extortion. You're labeling it as extortion.
Yeah,
Nobody else is.
Sure, I'm labeling it as extortion. You're labeling it as a good deal. I get that. That's fine. But, you know, what Trump did was tried to get a foreign government to basically meddle in our election. What Clinton did after she picked up this dossier, from, I think it was the Marco Rubio campaign, after he dropped out, I mean, it was one of the Republican candidates. It might have been Ted Cruz, but I'm pretty sure it was Marco Rubio who initially had hired this thing. But what Clinton did was hired a private detective to do research. There's, to the best of my knowledge, no law against that. There is a law against having foreign governments interfere in elections. Christopher Steele did not work for the British government at the time that happened.
Right,
he was a private eye.
Hillary should be in jail.
Why?
Should be in jail because she interfered with the Russian elections while she was in the Department of State. That's a known fact.
Well,
why do you think Putin went after her?
She absolutely did. As Secretary of State, I agree, and I understand. But that's not illegal.
Point.
That was the U.S. foreign policy. That was our policy set by Congress and by the president out in the open. Our policy.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it
that
was.
That was a rogue move by Hillary Clinton, and Putin played her one better, and he's part of the reason she was not elected, and it must burn her daily. Because she played with the big boys, and the big boys slapped her down.
I agree that Russian involvement in our election helped put Donald Trump in the White House. Doesn't it concern you, though, that the guy in the White House was put there by a foreign government?
Do I think he was?
No, you just said he was. I'm asking, doesn't that concern you, though? I mean, you know, what if the next president is put into place by Turkey or by Iran?
I don't view Russia as this huge enemy that America portrays.
By and large, John, I don't either. I think that we should have good relations with Russia. I want us to have good relations with Russia. We're the two largest nuclear powers in the world. I'm all in favor of that. But that's not the point here. I'm still trying to figure out why you think that what Obama and Clinton did, which was the official policy of the United States, is going to get them put in jail, whereas what Trump did, which was to violate the official policy of the United States. The official policy of the United States is that we oppose foreign governments involving themselves in our elections, and Trump tried to get a foreign government.
Of course
it is.
It's not the official policy of the United States government. Just let me finish. I let you speak.
Sure.
To use the FBI and the CIA to go after Donald Trump. And they went after him, and it's been proven, okay? James Clapper and the rest of Comey and all the other dirtbags that are around them.
They did start an investigation. You're absolutely right, John. They did look
and
into
it. It hasn't been finished yet.
And according to them, they were trying to find out if a foreign government was trying to corrupt the Trump campaign. And little did they know that the Trump campaign was trying to get a foreign government to participate in our election. But yeah, John, thank you for the call. It's a fascinating insight into Trump world. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
The most pivotal time in the Trump-Ukraine scandal timeline, April of this year, that's when President Poroshenko lost the election and President Zelensky won. And the deal that Trump had already negotiated with the former president of Ukraine fell apart. And he needed to scramble to get a new deal with the current president. president of Ukraine, which is where, you know, how we ended up where we are right now. Also, five people are injured in a shooting in Los Angeles at a high school, not Los Angeles specific, it's Santa Clarita, it's just north of Los Angeles. They described a man dressed in black clothing as the shooter. They said he's in custody and being treated at a local hospital. This was at 7:38 this morning. The hospital's reporting three of the wounded are in critical condition. One is in good condition. Two students told CNN during an on-air interview that they heard five shots, one initial bang followed by four other rapid shots. This is a Saugus High, has 2,400 students. So, you know, I'll keep you up to date on this, but it's just another one. I mean, I don't mean just, but it's here we go. Here we go again. And will Mitch McConnell not allow, I mean, the Democrats passed legislation in the House of Representatives to ban assault weapons, to institute background checks for all purchases, to close the gun show loophole. Very simple, straightforward legislation that is supported by the majority of Republicans and over 80% of Americans overall. The Democrats passed that legislation last year. And that legislation, or this year, excuse me, that they passed that legislation this year. And that legislation is sitting in the Senate waiting for Mitch McConnell to authorize a hearing on it, a discussion of it. As we have another school shooting, Mitch McConnell, Massacre Mitch, is refusing to allow that legislation to go forward. And that's pretty astonishing. You know, we haven't had an opportunity to talk since yesterday when the hearings were going down. It was a pretty interesting and consequential day. I think probably the largest news that was made, I mean, we all knew that Trump was basically saying to a foreign government, you need to corruptly open an investigation, a sham investigation into Joe Biden and his son. See, they've actually already been investigated. Both the Ukraine and the U.S. State Department looked into Hunter Biden being on the board of that gas company, and both concluded that, you know, it might look bad, you know, that the son of the president or vice president is, you know, got a cushy job. But there's nothing illegal going on here. Now, I agree it looks bad. Hunter Biden should have had better judgment. But, you know, what can you say? Stuff happens. But, you know, Trump bending foreign policy like that, that, you know, so I think we all kind of know the contours of the story broadly. But the big thing that was announced yesterday was that on July 26th, now keep in mind, on July 25th was the day that Trump, in the phone call, said to the current president of Ukraine, the reformer, the guy who wanted to actually clean up real corruption, that Trump said on the phone to this guy, you know, after Zelensky said, hey, and we're ready to buy those missiles that can stop Russian tanks, we're ready to buy those. And the response from Donald Trump was, but I'd like a favor, though. I want you to talk to Rudy Giuliani, my personal lawyer, who's not a representative of our government, but is working on my political campaign. And I'd like you to work some stuff out with Rudy Giuliani that has to do with Joe and Hunter Biden, who were mentioned by name in this telephone call, and the 2016 election and CrowdStrike, this American company that looked at the DNC server and said, aha, you've been hacked by the Russians. And the new theory is that somehow CrowdStrike lied about that, and in fact, that the DNC was hacked by Ukrainians. And so Trump, you know, Trump says it to this guy. So that was on July 25th. The next day, on July 26th, and this was a piece of information that Mr. Taylor testified to yesterday. He said that a member of his staff was sitting in a restaurant with Gordon Sondland, the Portland, Oregon hotel millionaire, multimillionaire, who gave $1 million to Donald Trump, or to his inaugural balls and things, in exchange for the ambassadorship to the European Union. That Gordon Sondland was sitting in the restaurant with this guy, and he made a phone call to Donald Trump. to bring him up to date and to say, yeah, it looks like the Ukrainians are going to go along with the investigations. And this guy could hear Trump saying it. Now, as of this moment, that's secondhand information. But the guy who heard the information is going to be testifying before Congress, behind closed doors, either this afternoon or tomorrow. Pretty sure it's tomorrow morning, but I could be wrong on that. There are so many moving pieces, and I don't have the story right in front of me. But this week, they're going to hear from him. So I'm guessing that he'll be scheduled as a public witness next week. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. Donald Trump has lost his appeal to keep his taxes hidden from New York State. 8 years of taxes. A judge for the U.S. For the D.C. Circuit said, no, you have to turn over your tax returns. Sorry, that's the law. This is an actual criminal investigation by the state of New York. You got to turn over your tax returns, just like any other citizen. So he appealed that to the entire, well, actually to a three-judge tribunal or panel at the D.C. Circuit. And two of the three judges said, sorry, Charlie. And so then he appealed, you know, so yeah, you got to turn over your taxes. So then he said, will the entire D.C. Circuit, all 11 or 13 or however many judges there are in that circuit, will you all hear it? And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And actually, the three appellate judges who said we should hear it, it was an 8-3 vote. So that's 11 judges. They said, no, we're not going to hear it. And the three judges who said we should hear it were all Republican appointees, two of them appointed by Trump, and those two previously worked in the Trump administration. So they worked for Donald Trump. They should have recused themselves because they were ruling on their old employer. I mean, the other guy who was a Republican appointee, even if he had been appointed by Trump, if he didn't work for Trump, I don't think it would make a difference. So anyhow, so Trump says he's now going to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court. He has 7 days to file those appeals. Meanwhile, I was getting just inundated with emails from Donald Trump during the hearings yesterday, and I just wanted to share some of them with you. These are his emails to his big donor, Fred Flintstone. Fred, Democrats will do whatever it takes to erase your voice, erase your vote, and erase your freedom. Keep in mind, I was pointing out a couple of days ago how good social science studies find that if you can make people fearful, their politics shift conservative. If you can make people feel safe, their politics shift liberal. It's the biggest single variable. So if an authoritarian, if a conservative wants to get reelected, what does he have to do? Make people feel fearful. Fred, Democrats will do whatever it takes to erase your voice, erase your vote, and erase your freedom. These impeachment hearings are a total scam and just a political hit job on President Trump. They simply don't care about you. They don't care that you, in all caps, elected President Trump because you were tired of the endless corruption and lies coming from crooked Hillary and the Democrats. They don't care that they're wasting millions of your taxpayer dollars on yet another impeachment witch hunt after their Russian witch hunt failed. All they care about is beating President Trump. It's up to you to make sure that never happens, Fred. There's never been a more critical time to step up and defend President Trump than right now. He has noticed your name is missing from the group of patriots that stood up during these fake impeachment hearings. Do you stand with the president in this fight? Please contribute $45 in the next 24 hours to stand with President Trump during these fake impeachment hearings, and your contribution will be double matched. Okay, first I got that. Then I got this about 4 hours later. Fred, the Democrats have reached a new low. Adam Schiff is lying to the American people every single day and has yet to be held accountable. There's bullet points in all caps or in bold type. He coordinated with a whistleblower. He lied about his involvement with the whistleblower. He misrepresented President Trump's Ukraine call. He excluded President Trump's lawyers from the inquiry, and he prevented Republican witnesses from testifying. If today's fake impeachment hearings show one thing, it's that this whole sham is a continuation of the Democrats' political vendetta against President Trump that began the day he was elected. The left will never rest until they impeach your president. We know that will never happen, and it's time to make a statement to Nancy and Adam Schiff to call it off for good. President Trump wants to raise $3 million in 24 hours. This goal is so important that he's authorized a special triple match on all donations. Please contribute $45 right now and help us crush our $3 million goal, and your gift will be triple matched. And so then this one came in this morning. Fred, did you watch yesterday's fake impeachment hearings? It was absolutely ridiculous. Did Adam Shifty Schiff and the rest of the radical Democrats even read the transcript before they went to work yesterday? If they had, they would have called off this witch hunt trial because I did nothing wrong. Where is the due process? It's so simple. Just read the transcript. I cannot sit by and let this happen, Fred. As a true American patriot, you cannot sit by and let this happen, Fred. That's why I'm calling on my top supporters like Fred Flintstone in Oregon to stand up and make a statement so huge and so epic that the Democrats will lose, period, their, period, minds, period. I met with Brad yesterday to go over the fundraising numbers, and we crushed our $3 million goal. I now realize that $3 million wasn't enough. We need to do something incredible to end this once and for all. I've decided to raise the goal to $5 million. This goal is so critical that I've spoken with a group of donors, and they've agreed to raise their original match to a triple match on all contributions. Note, if you've saved your payment information, your donation will go through immediately. Please contribute $45 by midnight tonight. You kind of get the idea. So that's what's going on. Don in Winsboro, South Carolina. Hey, Don, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
My mind, yesterday I was out with my wife, so we didn't get to listen to the hearings very much, so I taped them. And when we came home around 5, I listened to some of CNN, MSNBC to see what happened. And later that night, I taped Hannity because I didn't have time to watch him. I was watching others. And I played Hannity this morning, and one half saying, terrible day for the Republicans, great for Democrats. And if you listen to Hannity last night, 100% wonderful for the Republicans.
Right.
And it's just unbelievable. And it has divided our country so horribly.
Yeah. Rupert Murdoch has built a very effective machine to support the interests of billionaire plutocrats like Donald Trump and Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just very
different. Well, anyhow, I'm just concerned about that.
So you think that Fox viewers are going to be deeper in the bag for Trump now as a result of what happened yesterday?
Right. So if the base keeps standing with the Republicans, it will be hard for the Senate to do anything. But hopefully Trump will be damaged so bad he won't be able to do much, won't be reelected.
Yeah, well, we'll see. There is, there is discussion of a strategy that Republicans may employ to try to drag this thing out so that the Senate vote happens next spring rather than this fall or winter. And they think that if that happens, that the Democratic senators who are up for reelection will be burned by voting for, to remove Trump from office. But I'm thinking that if they are successful in pushing everything back till, February, March, April in particular, that's after many of the Republican primaries. And, one of these days I'm going to find a list of exactly when each one of the Republicans who's up for re-elections primary happens. But then they, once those Republicans have won their primaries and they no longer have to worry about their base, basically, until the general election, I think they'll feel more comfortable throwing Trump under the bus. But we'll see. We'll see. Don, thanks for the call. Randy in Ottawa, Iowa. Hey, Randy, what's on your mind today?
I haven't heard anybody approach this from this angle, and I watched the hearings, the majority of them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the point that I want to make is that Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump, along with Sondland, were running an off-the-books covert operation in Ukraine.
In defiance of U.S. policy, yes.
Well, outside of U.S. policy. So
yes.
Basically, it is the same as Iran-Contra or similar.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Weapons for whatever, hostages.
Hostages,
different.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the point I wanted to make, is that although it is hearsay, with the corruption in this organization, that I think we need to look at it with eyes through a historical point of view.
You know, if Bill Barr had not convinced George Herbert Walker Bush to pardon all those guys, Caspar Weinberger, Ollie North, Elliot Abrams, and that shut down all the then-living witnesses to Iran-Contra, if Bush hadn't made that pardon on December 24th of 1992, then... And then Clinton hadn't come into office in January of 92 and said, we're not going to bother looking back at Iran-Contra. If instead that, you know, Lawrence Walsh, I think he was special counsel, but if Lawrence Walsh had been, or the special prosecutor, if Lawrence Walsh had been able to pursue that, then we would probably be talking about that analogy, Randy, because, you know, if Bush or Reagan had been impeached or even, you know, charged with, you know, essentially a crime. I don't know how you do that,
yes,
you know, against a president who's already out of office. But, you know, if that had been public knowledge that these guys committed a crime, you know, the Reagan and Trump, or Reagan and Bush, excuse me, then we'd be talking about that right now. But because it's not public knowledge, it's just, you know, stuff that, you know, some of us who were around then remember well. And it's a shame because your point is really, really spot on. Randy, thank you so much for the call. Vince in Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Vince, what's up?
We Dems need to learn how to brand. Republicans brand everything great, like Patriot Act. It was totally not patriotic, but it's the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
What we need to do is this scandal, this Ukrainian scandal, doesn't even have a name. We haven't even branded it. And I keep saying we need to call it the perfect call.
I don't think that calling it perfect is going to be an effective brand. I think it should be called something like extortion gate or bribery gate.
We wouldn't have to worry about these people being three or four people removed. We would say the perfect call is the witness.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Vince, I mean, you know, that perfect call is where Trump clearly committed a crime, you know, where he just came right out and committed extortion right in front of us. Which is pretty mind-boggling when you think about it. Anyhow, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.